Good morning.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We're at it again. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part. And of course, all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. I want to remind you that 2 weeks from today, on January 20th, we will be having our congregational annual meeting. We'll have a potluck at 12 o'clock noon, and the meeting will follow 12:30, 12:45, somewhere thereabouts. So please mark your calendars and plan to join us for that as well. Rhonda, you had an announcement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're the brave ones out in this weather, right? We're wet. So next Saturday, we're having a sign-making community gathering downstairs in Fellowship Hall from 1 to 3. And the purpose is to make signs for the Women's March, our third annual Women's March, the following Saturday, January 19th. And we will meet for that, we will meet at City Hall at 12 noon. We'll march at 12:30, and then we'll end up at the high school for a rally. So you are all invited. Spread the word. If you have any questions, see me. Thank you very much.
Hopefully this year you won't get arrested.
Yeah.
Any other announcements this morning? Please read the rest of your announcements in the words of the week. There's some things coming up that you need to pay attention to. But if not, please stand for a procession of light. It's going to be a reading from Isaiah 60, which is our first reading for today, interspersed with some hymns of hymn number 308. So you need your bulletin and your hymnal. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. We sing verses 1 and 2. Shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Verses 3 and 4.
Lord, when you look on us in love, and our sin falls from God above, a ray of purest pleasure, your
heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. We finish with 5 and 6. Bethlehem sky. We too have a star to guide us. The shepherds ran to see the babe. We too have a star to guide us. The magi knelt at the child's feet. We too have a star to guide us. Christ shines with God's own truth and light. The light of my life is Jesus. We sing, bright and glorious is the sky.
Golden stars are shining, all their rays to earth.
shone in the Bethlehem manger, and who spreads the Spirit's rays, be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, the radiance of all faithful people, you brought the nations to the brightness of your rising. Fill the world with your glory, and show yourself to all the world through him who is the true light and the bright morning star, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite the children and the childish to come forward for the children's message. I was threatened. Don't get used to this. I don't do it with... This is for kids.
Well...
Or childish.
This is for kids.
Okay, that's great.
If you want a children's sermon, get kids to church. So, childish, today is Epiphany Sunday. What do you know about Epiphany Sunday?
It's hard to spell.
Get a revelation.
It's hard to spell. It's a revelation.
It's wise men.
Wise people. We don't know that they were men. That... Our reading says wise men, but in the Greek it's magi. It's neutral. It's neuter. So it could have been wise women.
I'll bet it was.
Could have been. So anyway, what's this about?
Star in the east.
It's a star. Why is Epiphany? Why is there a star in Epiphany? That's what the magi followed, right? The wise ones. They followed a star, and what were they looking for? They were looking for the birth of a newborn king. And so they followed a star, and eventually they found their way to Jesus, right?
Right.
So Epiphany only happened. Epiphany is 12 days after Christmas. It only occasionally falls on a Sunday. So today is kind of a rare day that we actually get to celebrate the Sunday of Epiphany. So today we're going to follow a star and find out where we might find Jesus among us today. So are you ready to follow the star?
Yeah.
All right, so get up. Let's follow the star. So what happens here? What happens here?
We listen. We read the scripture.
We read the scripture. And we teach, the Lutheran Church teaches that God is found in scripture. That Jesus is found in scripture. In fact, Martin Luther said that the Bible is the cradle that holds the baby Jesus. And we don't worship the cradle, we worship the child. We worship the baby, we worship Jesus. So when the scripture is read, and even when the sermon is preached on that word, Jesus is with us. Follow the star. So what do we have here? We have the bread and wine of communion. And we teach that when we eat the bread and drink the wine, it is the body and the blood of Jesus, and Jesus is part of that. And he comes to be with us as we eat and as we drink as the family of God. This is God's family meal. And soon we will all be invited to God's table and share in the body and blood of Jesus, and he will come to live in us. And this is where it all begins. What happens here?
Baptism.
And we're going to hear more about this next Sunday, because next Sunday is the baptism of our Lord, and we'll be talking about Jesus' baptism and our baptism. But we teach that in baptism, we become children of God.
He was baptized the week after he was born?
No.
Oh.
That's next week's story. Let's not jump ahead. That's next week. But we teach that when we are baptized, we become sons and daughters of God. We become part of God's family that are fed at God's table. And Jesus and the Spirit come to live within us and is with us. Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in baptism, Jesus comes to be with us, so we find Jesus in our baptism. One more stop. Where are we now?
In the family of God, the body of
Christ. We're in the midst of the family of God. And Jesus said to us, whenever two or three gather in my name, I am there. I'm not good at math. But I think there's more than two or three here, right? So Jesus promises that when we gather, when we gather, he is with us. We are God's children. God is with us. Let us pray. Dear God, we do thank you for the many ways you come to be with us and within us and a part of us. We thank you for the blessing of your love that you shower upon us each and every day. Bless these childish people and keep them in your care now and always. Amen. And that includes all of you.
Amen.
You can go be seated. The early risers will sing.
Please turn to the psalm on page 3 in your bulletin. I will begin with the light, and may you follow in the bold. Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son.
May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice.
May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor.
May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more.
May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts.
May all kings fall down before him. All nations give him service.
For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight.
Our second lesson comes from Ephesians. What had been hidden from previous generation is now made known through the gospel ministry of Paul and others. In Christ, both Jews and Gentiles participate in the richness of God's promised salvation. Hear now the word. This is the reason that I, Paul, am prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it is now being revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety, might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
As thus far God's holy word leads us to our King and Lord, rightly from its sacred pages shall his light through all the ages shine upon our path of life, shine upon our path of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw a child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. Those are the names that tradition has assigned to the wise men, the wee three kings of Orient are, who came in search of the newborn king. And although tradition has added much to their story, in actuality, we know very, very little about them. Matthew's Christmas story says that they came from the east, perhaps Persia, Arabia, or Babylon. We are told that they were magi, but we're not told exactly what that means. Some say they were holy people, shamans from a faraway land. Others speculate that they were called wise ones because they were skilled in philosophy, medicine, or natural science. Obviously, they were people who were interested in the stars, so astrology was probably their expertise. Whatever they were, Matthew tells us that when they saw a mighty new star arise in the night sky, they followed it, for they believed that it heralded the birth of a new king. Now, Matthew's Christmas story is very different from the one we heard last week from the Gospel of Luke. In Luke, the good news of Jesus' birth is announced publicly only to a few lowly shepherds who were out keeping watch over their flocks by night. But in Matthew, this birth, the coming of this king and savior, is announced by a bright and shining star which shone in the night sky for the whole world to see. It was a very public sign that something new, something dramatic, something wonderful was taking place on this earth. The coming of this Christ child, the advent of God in human flesh, was such an important event that it was signaled in the sky so that all people might take notice. God's incarnation as a tiny baby boy was an event that was not reserved for only a few, but was an event that was open to the public. It was so public, in fact, that these wise people saw it from afar, and they traveled long distances to see and to worship this newborn king. Now, the wise men first came to Jerusalem, Matthew says, and I suppose that makes sense. They were, after all, coming to see a king, and what better place to look for him than in the palace in the capital city? As they approached Jerusalem, I imagine that they envisioned that they would find the city in the midst of a great celebration over the birth of this new king. They expected trumpets to be blaring, people to be dancing in the streets, and streamers to be flying from the rooftops. This would be a great party to enjoy and to recall for many years to come. Imagine their surprise then, upon entering Jerusalem, to find it unusually quiet and strictly business as usual. No revelry, no rejoicing, only cold, hard stares from the Jewish people which seemed to say, "What are you pagans doing here? What brings you unclean into this, the holy city of God?" They had no trouble gaining entrance to the palace, for they looked rich, and that was enough to gain them royal audience. Only the king they met was something of a disappointment. He was old and fat and had terrible breath. His skin was yellow, and the guards around him shook in fear of him. Without even conferring with one another, the wise men knew that he was not the one the star pointed to. So they asked him if he knew of any other kings in the general area. Well, Herod at first was only half listening to them, but this question got his attention in a big way. He looked right at them for the first time, and when he saw the stars in their eyes, his own eyes became like the eyes of a snake, and he asked them if they would excuse him for a moment. The king then stepped into his chapel to confer with his clergy, who whipped out their concordances and told him what he wanted to know. Yes, there was a little something in the book of Micah about a new ruler for Israel. It was no secret, no hidden mystery. The prophet had pointed to the place hundreds of years before. "And you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel. He shall feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, and they shall live secure, for he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Bethlehem, that was the place. There was no secret, no mystery to it. It was right there in the Bible for anybody to see. It was news, it was information that was open to the public. So Herod gargled and combed his hair and went back to tell the wise men that they should go to Bethlehem at once with his blessing on the condition that they come back and tell him who they had found so that he could also go and worship him. And so the wise men set off from Jerusalem, glad to be away from Herod, whose madness was plain to see, and they traveled to Bethlehem, and there in a simple one-room house, they found the child of their searching, and they worshipped him and offered their treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The good news of Matthew's Christmas story is that our God became flesh and came to this earth to dwell with us and with everyone. This is a gift that is meant for all. It is an event open to the public. It was not an event that was meant to be a secret, one that was hidden from human eyes, nor was it meant only for a chosen few. Quite the contrary, God willed that all people, that all nations might behold and see and experience this invasion of the divine into the world of the mortals. The stars in the heaven proclaimed this wondrous birth. The words of the prophet pointed straight to the place. Emmanuel, God with us, is a gift that is given to you, to me, and to all people of this earth. In the 2,000 years that have passed since the Bethlehem event, many things have changed. But the one thing that has not changed is God's will to be with us in Jesus Christ. This is still an event. This is still a gift that is open to the public. No matter who you are, no matter what kind of life you may have led, no matter how far your life may have strayed away from God's intentions for you, no matter what, God is here for you. And here God opens wide his arms of love and welcomes you into his eternal embrace. Our gospel reading for today is a strong reminder to us that God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's peace are gifts that God gives to all people. In that story, the Son of God is put on public display. It's as if God had erected a great big sign over the place where Jesus lay, which read, "Open to the public, come as you are." And that same sign, that same attitude, should be the attitude that each of us carries as people of God. That sign, "Open to the public, come as you are," should be emblazoned over the entryway of every Christian church, for we are all called not to be a close gathering of like-minded individuals, but a place that is open to all people, to all seekers, to all who are looking to find a way of peace and hope in this dark and troubled world. For here is the place God promises to meet us as we are, with gifts of grace and mercy and love. Here in this place, God comes to remove the burdens that we carry, the guilt over our past transgressions, anything that we feel disqualifies us from receiving his love. Here in this place, God meets us to wash away our sin and to make us new. Here he comes to feed and nourish the seed of faith that he has planted within us so that we might live as his holy people, his servants in this world. So no matter who you are, no matter what burden you might bring with you today, I can joyfully announce to you that you stand in the stream of God's love, that love which the star announced for the whole world to see. The wise ones came from the east to find their deepest longings met in the Christ child, that babe born in Bethlehem. The public sign of the star pointed the way for them, and Christ was there to meet them when they arrived. And the same thing is true for each of us as well. God has hung a star over our lives too. He has given us a light to illumine our paths in this dark and forbidding world. The light of our life is Jesus, who will shine within us forever and ever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as we sing, "As with Gladness, Minable," number 302. affirmation of faith printed on page 5 in your bulletins. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Dwelling in the presence of God with us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all in any need. Drawn into the light of God, we pray for the proclamation of the grace of Jesus Christ. Give us courage and boldness to go forth into the world to tell the good news of what God has done. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the glory of creation, we pray for the earth. Sustain every living thing with abundant resources, clean water, and sustainable harvests. Help us to steward all that you have provided. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the brightness of God's presence, we pray for the nations of the world. Reveal your compassion and peace for the sake of all who live in the shadow of oppression, violence, and fear. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the light of healing mercy, we pray for all who wait for healing and relief of suffering. Give us hope in the promise of new life where pain and suffering will be no more. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the dawn of a new day, we pray for the ongoing reconciliation between people. Make us bold to name sin in our lives and unite us in the promise of forgiveness and mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Drawn into the promise of everlasting light, we pray for those who mourn and give thanks for all the saints who now rest in the brightness of God's presence. Make us confident in our worship as we reflect the light of God with eternal praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We do indeed lift you all who are broken this day, O God, in body, mind, or spirit, asking that you would come and touch their lives, their bodies, with your healing presence. We especially remember in our prayers today Kevin Lent, Sarah Snyder, Ann Swinehart, Judy Whitlatch, Laura Cusick, Lynn Clark, Pam Archer, Raymond Duarte, Susan Painter, John Stern, Ed Lord, Don Davis, Kinsey Kessinger, David and Donna Bowman, Keith and Kathy Swenson. Hear us, O God,
your mercy is great.
Hear now the prayers of these your children, O God, whether we speak those prayers to you aloud or whisper them to you in the silence of our hearts.
Praise you, Lord, that you deliver all good things in their times. It seems we suffer long, Father, you come here as a shining star. Thank you for your birth. Thank you for bringing the light into the world. Thank you for our souls.
Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Trusting in the presence of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, we commend all for whom we pray, dwelling in the light and hope of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Share that peace with your brothers and sisters.
Perfect time.